It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Paying with his life.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The former head of China's Food and Drug Administration has been executed for taking bribes. He took money from drug companies in exchange for approving products that turned out to be fake. Scott Tong is our reporter in Shanghai. Scott, is the government using this execution to send a message?
I think the bigger message is to the regulators in China. Bribery is a big problem, reportedly, in China. And in the big cases, the government does not go after the bribe givers. It's the bribe takers, the people who are regulating the industry. What it doesn't seem to be is a message to the Western public. It's seen as kind of bad PR to really publicize an execution where the Western public might be shocked.
So we had this briefing from representatives of five Chinese state agencies that perform food and drug safety work. What are they saying about changes in oversight?
The first thing they talked about is how they work together. There has been an increasingly louder complaint that these are agencies that don't work together, they don't know the jurisdictions. The other thing that's happened here is the government has taken officials from various departments and rotated them around. So hopefully they won't be as susceptible, they won't be as close to the industries that they regulate.
Now, practically speaking, won't it be difficult for the Chinese to make meaningful changes in the way they conduct business?
Well, there are a whole lot of what people consider good ideas emanating from Beijing, whether it's pollution, whether it's food safety. And now comes the long, painful process of implementing these things. And they get the pushback, just like Washington gets pushback from the states. If there's a sense that a factory needs to be shut down, the governor doesn't want to lose those jobs. Same kind of dynamic happens in China.
Hey, Scott, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thanks, Doug.
Our Scott Tong in Shanghai. On Wall Street, the stock market crawled higher yesterday. The Dow rose 38 to 13,649. The S&P added a point to 1531, and the NASDAQ added 3 to 2670. Stocks in Asia were a little weak overnight, and the major European markets are drifting lower. Here at home, stock futures are pointing to a weak open. That's after Home Depot lowered its profit forecast. General Motors and Ford are getting more aggressive about selling vehicles. They've stepped up discounting, and now we've got a full-blown price war for pickup trucks. GM's got new pickup deals for full-size pickups, and Ford is extending discounts for its entire 2007 lineup. Last month, sales for the big three took a nosedive, a drop of 13%. At this rate, Detroit could soon mark a big milestone, as Jill Barshay reports.
Americans continue to turn their noses up at General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. Before the end of the year, more than half the cars we buy will come from foreign car manufacturers. Michelle Krebs is editor of Edmunds Auto Observer.
General Motors at one point had 60% market share by itself. It shows that the whole landscape of the American automobile industry has changed.
Sales have fallen fast since U.S. automakers cut back on discounts and rebates. Krebs says now they can focus on profits.
Profitability is the most important thing because it could increase your sales by practically giving away vehicles, but that's not the smart way to do it.
The big three are about to be bumped off the top of the market, but that doesn't spell the end of the American auto industry. Experts say more than half the cars and trucks sold in the U.S. will still be built in America, whether they're foreign or not. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, supporting America's public transportation systems, working to help reduce greenhouse gases for a better environment at publictransportation.org. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
Shares in the South Korean mobile phone company SK Telecom posted their biggest gain of the year overnight. There were reports the company was preparing a takeover bid for Sprint Nextel. SK Telecom has denied making a takeover plan. Even so, shares in Sprint Nextel jumped more than 15% in after-hours trading. The South Korean government has recently made a big increase in the amount of money its citizens can invest in foreign real estate. Here in Southern California, there's hope South Korean money might boost the housing market. Lorena Chu reports.
From the pool deck of a new condo building in downtown L.A., developer Ki Ryu points to Koreatown with quick jabs of his index finger. It's just a hop away, he's quick to tell potential Korean buyers.
The $5 distance, if you get a cab, if it's within $5 range, you know, that's kind of, you know, the Korean, I mean, the range of Korean people usually hang out.
Ryu is advertising condos at 1100 Wilshire in Korean language media here. The idea is that Koreans spread the word back home. The strategy is working. Now standing inside a model condo, Ryu says nearly 40% of the buyers so far have Korean surnames.
The Asian people always like to have their own assets here. And we saw, you know, the great kind of potential from Korean community, and we tried to tap into that demand.
That demand for American property is only expected to grow, even as the U.S. housing market drops. Why? Several months ago, the South Korean government increased the limit on foreign investment from $1 million to $3 million per head. Meanwhile, the South Korean currency is appreciated dramatically. That means U.S. properties sell for a third less than they used to, L.A. broker Edward Koo.
So if they sell the condo in Seoul downtown, they can buy the condo in Beverly Hills, at least two or three.
Last year, South Koreans invested $1 billion in global real estate, according to the National Association of Realtors. That's a 30-fold increase over 2005. This year, they expect the outflow to top $1.5 billion. 50% of that will land in America, in places like Orange County and Koreatown.
Downtown LA.
That is, assuming Koreatown traffic doesn't scare the buyers off first. In Los Angeles, I'm Lenora Chu for Marketplace.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks very much for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.